This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, August 1st, 2018. Coming up this hour,
the White House ratchets up trade pressure on China.
Stocks in China and Hong Kong fall following the latest talk on tariffs.
Apple shares are poised for a record after earnings top estimates.
Wall Street awaits results from Tesla after a tumultuous month for the electric car maker.
President Trump's ex-campaign manager, Paul Manafort, is blaming his right-hand man for embezzlement on the first day of his bank and tax fraud trial. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A Yankee win, and they move closer to the Red Sox, the most lopsided loss in Mets history in Washington, 25-4.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
It is a new month on Wall Street, and stocks are struggling for traction as commodities are dragged lower by renewed trade tensions. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about a point. Dow futures down 19. NASDAQ futures up 18. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. The CAC in Paris is up 0.1%. And the FTSE 100 is up almost 9-tenths, or down rather, almost 9-tenths%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained almost 9-tenths%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down almost 9-tenths%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.97%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.8% or 55 cents to $68.21 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1%, down $1.60 to $12.32 an ounce. The euro, $1.1683, and the yen, 112.01. Nathan.
Karen, there is new pressure on the trade front this morning with the White House ramping up tariff threats to push China into talks. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. Sources tell Bloomberg the White House is considering more than doubling its planned tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese imports. They were set to be hit with tariffs of 10%. Now they could receive levies of 25%. While American and Chinese officials have hinted at the possibility of restarting trade negotiations, it's been almost 2 months since they last held high-level talks. One person familiar with the internal deliberations says the U.S. is trying to secure certain concessions, and if China agrees, it's possible the U.S. would back off additional tariffs. On another front, sources tell Bloomberg the U.S. and Mexico are in the final stages of negotiating a deal on rules for cars sold under NAFTA, while Canadian officials are being frozen out. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Stocks in China did not react kindly to that news on trade today. Bloomberg's Juliet Solly has details from our Singapore bureau.
Chinese equities and the yuan were whipsawed as investors assessed comments from Chinese officials pledging to support economic growth against that news that the U.S. may more than double its planned tariffs on imports from China. The CSI 300 closed down almost 2%. Likewise, the Hang Seng Index erased an earlier gain of around 0.7% to trade lower into the close. The offshore yuan also moved to the downside after China weakened its fixing for the currency to the lowest since May 2017. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. Sources tell Bloomberg China's central bank has started actively encouraging banks to boost lending as it ratchets up efforts to bolster a cooling economy. The PBOC is becoming more flexible on lending caps imposed by the government. The move comes as the trade war and higher borrowing costs threaten China's economic outlook.
Here in the U.S., we get the Federal Reserve's latest policy decision at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. Michael McKee has a preview from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Fed officials haven't set markets up for a rate move, so don't expect one. The question is what they signal about their September and December meetings. Since two more moves were priced in during June, inflation appears to have calmed, while equity markets have turned more volatile. Add in trade tariffs, and it's a combination that argues for more caution from the central bank. But with tax cut stimulus still in place, plus uncertainty over wages and oil prices, policymakers will likely try to preserve their options by offering as little direction as possible in their statement. In Washington, Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Michael. Turning to earnings now, shares of Apple are up 4% in early trading after a fourth quarter sales forecast that topped estimates. Consumers are buying high-end iPhones along with gadgets for the device, while Apple's digital services continue to grow, and analysts like what they see. Julie Ask is with Forrester Research.
If you look at where Apple needs to be strong to continue on this pace, they're showing growth in the right places.
Daniel Flax is a senior analyst at NB.
The services results and other products suggest that wearables, the AirPod, watches are doing well, really suggest that the platform is broadening out and you have multiple growth drivers.
Eric Hippo is a partner at Lara Hippo Ventures.
The big surprise is the average selling price has shot up, mostly on the basis of the strong sales of the top line, the iPhone X, which many analysts had said, no, it's too expensive, but it seems to be picking up steam.
Shares of Apple are currently trading around $198. If that level holds at the open, it would be a record.
Let's bring you some earnings out of Europe now. Rio Tinto reported first half profit at a four-year high and plans for a share buyback. At the same time, the firm cites global trade as a potential concern and says sanctions on Rusal have hurt the company's aluminum business. Rio Tinto shares are down 4% in London.
BNP Paribas is out with earnings. Equities trading at the firm reached a three-year high, while revenue from fixed income, currencies, and commodities declined for the fifth straight quarter. Shares of BNP Paribas were higher initially. They are now down 0.2%.
Lloyds Banking Group is gaining earnings momentum. Britain's largest mortgage lender posted a 23% jump in pre-tax profit and upgraded its financial guidance for the year. Shares of Lloyds are up nearly 2% in London.
We get earnings today from 35 companies in the S&P 500. Tesla releases results on the heels of a tumultuous month for the electric car maker. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger reports.
Tesla bears have been dominating the conversation in the lead-up to the company's quarterly results. They cite concerns about cash flow, Model 3 production, and gross margins. Bloomberg Intelligence says second-quarter unit deliveries could be disconcertingly low. Tesla is seen holding back in order to protect a $7,500 federal tax rebate to buyers for another 3 months. The rebate goes away when Tesla makes delivery number 200,000. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thank you. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. 5:07 is the time now on Wall Street. Let's find out what else is going on in the world. For that, we bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Trial continues today for Paul Manafort. During opening statements yesterday, defense lawyers for Manafort say President Trump's former campaign manager was betrayed by his right-hand man, Rick Gates, and never committed any crimes. Prosecutors say Manafort lied and lived a tax-free lifestyle. Manafort is accused of tax and bank fraud. President Donald Trump is calling for voters to show photo ID at the polls. He spoke during a rally in Tampa, Florida last night.
You know, if you go out and you want to buy groceries, you need a picture on a card. You need ID. You go out and you want to buy anything, you need ID and you need your picture.
Trump also said that the U.S. is doing well with North Korea, although China may be getting in the way. Earlier, State Department officials said that it expects Pyongyang to keep its commitment made at the June Trump-Kim summit to give up its nuclear arms. Vice President Mike Pence and Homeland Security Secretary Kristen Nielsen offered public support for U.S. spy agencies, saying they agree with their finding that Russia interfered in the 2016 presidential election. Pence says he and the president trust the intelligence community's conclusion.
Russia's goal was to sow discord and division and to weaken the American people's faith in our democracy. And while no actual votes were changed, any attempt to interfere in our elections is an affront to our democracy, and it will not be allowed.
Pence spoke at a DHS-sponsored cybersecurity summit in New York yesterday. A passenger jet that was heading for Mexico City crashed just after takeoff in Durango, Mexico. All 103 people on board made it out alive. A federal judge in Seattle has placed a temporary restraining order on a company from releasing blueprints to make untraceable and undetectable 3D-printed plastic guns. After the ruling, Washington State Attorney General Bob Ferguson spoke to reporters.
The idea here is to limit the harm, and by placing this temporary restraining order in place, that will make a dramatic difference for public safety. I think it would be ludicrous for anyone to suggest somehow that it does not make us safer.
Critics say the plastic weapons are untraceable and do not set off metal detectors. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. 5:09 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, the Mets have lost plenty of games in their history, beginning with that first season, 1962. They lost 120 times. Never have they lost a game like they did last night.
1-2 to Rosario. Swinging a ground ball to third. Charging is Reynolds. He's got it. Throws to first in time. And the ball game is over. Final score, the Washington Nationals 25. And the New York Mets 4.
WOR the call, most lopsided loss in team history. It was 7-0 before the first inning was over, and already Steven Matz had to be taken out by Mickey Callaway.
Not everybody's going to pitch lights out every time. So, you know, you go through rough patches every now and again. He's going through one. Tonight was really rough. He'll get back on and get after it in between starts and then see if he can ride it.
The last Met pitcher was infielder Jose Reyes, and he gave up 6 more runs. Daniel Murphy, the ex-Met, led the Nationals 2 homers, 6 RBIs. The Nats perhaps celebrating the fact they did not trade Bryce Harper before the deadline. At the stadium, Yankees led the Orioles 6-0 after Miguel Andujar, 3-run homer. They won 6-3. 6 scoreless innings from Masahiro Tanaka and Aroldis Chapman's 29th save. And the Red Sox lost to the Phillies 3-1. So the Yanks, 5 games behind, their 4-game series in Boston begins tomorrow. They were going to face Sox ace Chris Sale in the series opener, but he's been put on the disabled list with a shoulder injury that is not considered serious. The Yanks are hoping the newly acquired Jay Happ can make his scheduled start on Saturday. Happ is suffering from hand, foot, and mouth disease. Incredibly, both New York teams now have pitchers with that same rare disease. The Mets' Noah Syndergaard has been sidelined with it as well. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, thanks, John. In other sports news, the NBA now has an official sports book. The league's formed a partnership with MGM Resorts International to make the casino operator its first-ever sports gambling partner. In states where gambling's legal, MGM will now be able to use official NBA and WNBA logos and trademarks. It will also have access to official NBA data streams to create products like in-game betting. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Willoughby's since 1898, New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue and 35th Street.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are struggling for traction as commodities are dragged lower by renewed trade concerns. Sources tell Bloomberg the White House is considering more than doubling its planned tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese imports. Shares of Apple, meanwhile, are up 3.5% in early trading after fourth quarter sales forecast that topped analyst estimates. We get details from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
The report suggests consumers continue to snap up the company's high-end iPhones, digital services, and wearable devices like AirPods and the Apple Watch. The technology giant says it expects fiscal fourth quarter revenue to be between $60 and $62 billion. Analysts were looking for $59.4 billion, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. More than a decade after its debut, the iPhone is still Apple's most important product, accounting for about 60% of revenue. Apple's fiscal fourth quarter outlook is closely watched because this is usually the period when the company unveils new iPhones. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. S&P futures are down 2.5 points this morning. Dow futures down 43. NASDAQ futures up 13. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.97%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.67%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.2% or 79 cents to $67.97 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% on $1.80 to $12.31.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.1684. The yen, 111.99. A busy day for economic data, highlighted by that 2 o'clock Federal Reserve rate decision. That's 2 o'clock Wall Street time. And 35 companies in the S&P 500 scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Vice President Mike Pence is flying to Hawaii today to receive 55 sets of remains of U.S. soldiers who died in the Korean War. The remains were recently handed over by North Korea. The second day of the trial against former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort begins today. Federal prosecutors say Manafort funneled tens of millions of dollars through offshore accounts. Defense lawyers say it was Manafort's ex-right-hand man, Rick Gates, who embezzled millions of dollars. In sports and baseball, the Yankees beat the Orioles 6-3. The Mets lost to the Nationals 25-4. In case you misheard it, I said 25-4. The Red Sox lost. The A's and Giants were winners. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Yeah, I heard someone say the Nationals beat the Mets by 3 touchdowns yesterday, Michael. Thanks for that. We want to bring in our guest here at 520 on Wall Street. Mark Vintner is a senior economist at Wells Fargo as we await that Fed rate decision. 2 p.m. Wall Street time. And I guess, Mark, the decision almost everybody is expecting is going to be no decision, right?
Yeah, no one's really expecting the Fed to raise rates this month, but the wording of the statement may change a little bit. Chairman Powell is the most plain-spoken Fed chair we've ever had, and I think he has to acknowledge that the economy's firmed up a bit more.
Yeah, I guess the terminology we've heard lately has been gradual rate hikes for now. I mean, are you going to be looking for a little bit more insight into what for now might mean?
Yeah, and that can go either way. I mean, that can go that we're getting close to neutral, which some of the Fed bank presidents are beginning to think that we're getting close to neutral, or it could mean that they could ramp it up. I think that it's probably the former. I think that that the Fed doesn't have that much more room to go. I think they're probably going to raise rates 2 more times this year. We think only 2 times in 2019, and then maybe once after that. Depends on how much longer the economy can keep on going.
Yeah, I mean, we're still not seeing wage pressure at this point, right? I mean, how does that factor into the decision making in the months ahead?
We're not seeing wage pressure, but we are seeing an awful lot of chatter about inflation. Yesterday, Procter & Gamble announced they're going to raise some prices on consumer goods, and we saw the consumer stocks rally and say, "Oh, great, we got some pricing power." So, you know, I think that there's enough of a hint of inflation in the air, and we are seeing that wages are perking up a little bit. That should keep the Fed on the road that they're on. I don't think there's any case to ramp up the pace of tightening.
So the fact that we got that 4.1% growth handle in the second quarter doesn't factor in too much at this point for open market committee policymakers?
Well, I don't think it's the 4.1. I think it's more of the average of what we've seen over the last year, which growth has picked up. We had been growing about 2.1% a year from 2009 through 2016. And then things have really picked up over the last year, and we're closer to 3%. Well, potential GDP is probably picked up, too. I think that productivity growth is probably perked up. We might even be seeing a few more people coming back in the labor force, but it's not 2.8%. So they do need to tamp down growth a little bit. But ever so slightly, monetary policy works with a long and variable lag. And so decisions they make today, decisions they make 3 months from now, really impact the economy a year from now. And a year from now, we think the economy is going to be decelerating.
So how does the Friday jobs report factor into what you're watching?
Well, it's just more of the same, that things are really great right now. Yesterday in the Consumer Confidence Survey, we saw that the number of people that think the jobs are plentiful increased, and the number that think they're scarce came down. And you know, we'd expect another strong number. We're looking for gains just under 200,000 for non-farm payrolls, and a drop in the unemployment rate that's probably 0.1%, but it could be 2. It's bounced around a little bit in the last couple of months. The other thing about jobs, though, is that the job gains are incredibly broad-based. And in the past, when job gains have been broadening, it has signaled that trouble for the economy is way down the road. And so typically you see that the job gains get narrower before, at least, you know, like 18 months, 2 years before the onset of recession. So, you know, it's not just the number of jobs, it's the breadth. And the breadth is incredibly broad right now. I mean, just that we have an incredibly broad assortment of industries adding jobs, including manufacturing, construction, and energy extraction, all of which are very high-paying jobs.
Mark Vintner, senior economist at Wells Fargo. Thanks so much for this insight as we make our way toward 2 p.m. Wall Street time as the Federal Open Market Committee wraps up that two-day meeting and lets us know what they decide as far as rates go. As far as forward look at the markets, ahead of the open, S&P futures down a tenth percent. The Dow down 43 points. That's a drop of nearly two-tenths, 1%. NASDAQ futures ahead nearly two-tenths percent, up by 13 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Withum, Smith & Brown, Audit, Tax, and Advisory Services, helping you and your business to be in a position of strength. Experience the Withum way by visiting Withum.com.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. There's new pressure on the trade front with the White House ramping up tariff threats to push China into talks. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from Beijing.
Sources tell Bloomberg the U.S. is considering more than doubling proposed tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods from 10% to 25%. It ramps up the pressure on Beijing as officials here work to shore up a slowing economy. The tariffs could be enforced after a consultation period ending August the 30th. In Beijing, Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Tom. Shares of China fell on the heels of that report, and with the benchmark Shanghai Composite closing down 2%.
Meanwhile, sources tell Bloomberg Tesla plans to invest $5 billion in a Chinese factory. That move comes as trade tensions make it imperative for Tesla to establish production in China.
On the earnings front, results from Apple beat expectations. The company also forecasts fourth quarter sales that topped estimate. Shares of Apple are up more than 3% this morning.
In Europe, Rio Tinto shares are down 4%. First half profit came in at a four-year high, but sanctions on Rusal hurt the company's aluminum business.
Lloyds Banking Group posted a 23% jump in pre-tax profit and upgraded its financial guidance for the year. Shares of Lloyds are higher by 1.5%.
Volkswagen's profit jumped 23% in the second quarter. Still, the world's largest automaker expects upcoming tougher emissions testing to delay deliveries. VW shares are down 2%.
And the Federal Reserve issues its latest policy decision at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. And at 8:15 a.m., ADP issues its monthly employment report. Forecasts call for a gain of 186,000 jobs in July. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice reports.
Bloomberg Economics says last quarter's sizzling GDP points to strength ahead. Private payroll growth has averaged about 200,000 a month since the start of the year. Job openings have been running at record highs. Just the same, Wall Street will be watching today's ADP report for the impact of White House trade policy. Vinny Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. S&P futures are lower, down 3 points this morning. So are Dow futures, down 46, while NASDAQ futures are higher, up 11. The 10-year Treasury down 5/32, now down 4/32. The yield, 2.97%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.1%, down 77 cents to $67.99 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down about 0.2%, down $2.40 to $12.31.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1680, the yen 111.96. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 is the time now on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr and find out more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Trump says that the U.S. is doing well in North Korea, although China may be getting in our way. Trump at a campaign rally in Tampa, Florida last night also says his administration still needs more money for his promised border wall.
They'd say he's not acting presidential. And I'd say, well, it's a lot easier to act presidential than to do what I do. Anybody can act presidential.
On Iran, Trump says he has a feeling the nation will be talking to the U.S. pretty soon. Paul Manafort is blaming his former right-hand man Rick Gates in his tax and bank fraud trial. Lawyers for President Trump's ex-campaign managers say it was Gates who embezzled millions of dollars and lied to prosecutors to stay out of prison. Bloomberg's Nancy Lyons in Washington reports opening statements began right after a jury was selected.
The jury of six men and six women was selected from a pool of about 60 people. Three women and one man were selected as alternates. Many of them work in the government. Some were turned away because they said they could not be impartial. President Trump's former campaign chairman is charged with failing to pay taxes on millions he made working as a political consultant in Ukraine and also lying to get loans. Manafort was in court wearing a dark suit and light shirt. The trial is expected to take about 3 weeks. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Facebook announced that it has deleted accounts involved in coordinated inauthentic behavior. Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg spoke to reporters in a conference call.
This kind of behavior is not allowed on Facebook because we don't want organizations or individuals creating networks of accounts that mislead people about who they are or what they're doing.
The social media giant does not know who's behind the malicious influence campaign, but the deleted pages have similar characteristics to accounts previously linked to the Russian Internet Research Agency. An Aeromexico jetliner taking off in a storm smashed down into a nearby field, but skidded to a stop virtually intact. All 103 people aboard were able to escape advancing flames before fire engulfed the aircraft. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stanshower.
Nathan, Masahiro Tanaka looks ready for the postseason. A month-long stint on the disabled list may have actually helped. In his last two starts, he is not allowed a run. Scoreless hitting streak now up to 17. Tanaka has not been tagged with a loss since mid-April, a stretch of 13 consecutive starts, six scoreless innings last night for manager Aaron Boone.
Great job by him of reining it in a little bit. I think he struggled a little bit in that first inning with his command and his slider a little bit, but he really settled in from there and made the necessary adjustments, got real pitch efficient, and, you know, to be able to get us through six tonight the way he did, he continues to pitch well for us, and obviously that's huge for us going forward.
Yankees beat the Orioles 6-3 at the stadium. Miguel Andujar, a three-run homer. Red Sox lost to the Phillies. The Boston lead now 5. Yanks will be in Boston for a four-game series that starts tomorrow. They catch a break. Sox ace Chris Sale put on the disabled list with a mild shoulder injury. He was going to pitch tomorrow. Yanks are hopeful Jay Happ can make his start on Saturday. He has what's called a mild case of hand, foot, and mouth disease. No, he did not contract it from the Mets. Noah Syndergaard, who has it too, they think it may have happened when Happ traveled to New York from Toronto after the trade. Syndergaard returns to the mound this afternoon in Washington, and today's game promises to be closer than the one last night. The Nationals won 25-4. It's the most lopsided loss in Mets history, and as any Mets fan will attest to, they've lost a lot of games in their 56-year history. None like this. The Nationals scored 7 runs in the first inning, 3 in each of the next 4 frames, so it was 19-0 midway through. For good measure, they tacked on 6 more in the 8th off Mets infielder Jose Reyes. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Wow, thank you, John. It is 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover, the new space age. Also in the issue, how pharmaceutical companies are searching for cancer drugs in space. Cynthia Kunz wrote that story for Bloomberg Business Week.
Drug makers like Merck, Amgen, Novartis, Eli Lilly, they've been doing experiments in the microgravity, which is just to say very, very low-level gravity environment that exists on the International Space Station.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now to access insights and analysis on the global stories that matter most. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Nathan, Boston Properties will pay about $108 million for a minority stake in 3 Hudson Boulevard. The skyscraper planned for Hudson Yards. The big real estate investment trust says it also provided $80 million in mortgage financing to the joint venture controlling the project. Employers of folks who make more than $5 million a year in New Jersey should increase withholding by 74% no later than September 1st. Catch up on a year's worth of higher taxes. Those employees will pay a 10.75% gross income tax under changes to the tax code, up from 8.97%. And regulators Tuesday paved the way for Millstone Power Station to gain an edge in a state-run electricity auction. Connecticut's Department of Energy and Environmental Protection says it'll let energy producers try to convince regulators they're at risk of closure before 2022. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Ed, thanks. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team. Find out some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Boeing plans to create an engineering center focused on pilotless aircraft technology at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, I'm reporting on word that a hedge fund has just taken a stake in Campbell's Soup and is pushing for some changes.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following rising profits from Lloyds Bank, even as missold insurance costs linger.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Tesla is planning a $5 billion investment in a Chinese factory.
And those are just some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. We await the Fed rate decision at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. Futures contracts are pointing to a mixed open on Wall Street. The S&P down 3 points. That's a drop of about a 0.1%. Dow futures down nearly 0.2% lower, drop of 47 points. NASDAQ futures higher by 11 points. That is a gain of about a 0.1%. 10-year Treasury prices down 4/32. The yield at 2.97%. 2-year yields at 2.66%. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I want to introduce you to At TikTok by Bloomberg. It's the first and only global news network built for Twitter, 24/7 news streaming live as we speak at TICTOC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are struggling for traction as commodities are dragged lower by renewed trade concerns. Sources tell Bloomberg the White House is considering more than doubling its planned tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese imports. They were set to be hit with tariffs of 10%. Now they could receive levies of 25%. Bloomberg Daybreak editor Nick Gentle reports.
The U.S. Trade Representative's Office, people familiar with the thinking there, suggesting that to apply more pressure to China, these posited tariffs on $200 billion worth of goods could be ramped up to apply more pressure to Beijing. This is coming on top of the end of the review period for another $16 billion worth of products to be hit by tariffs. That finished at midnight U.S. time, so they could be coming down the line fairly soon.
Bloomberg's Nick Gentle, and that news comes just hours after we received word that the U.S. and China were trying to restart trade talks, which have been stalled for weeks. Meanwhile, India's central bank has raised its benchmark interest rate to 6.5%, or the highest in 2 years. This as it stepped up efforts to curb inflation and stem capital outflows. S&P futures this morning moving lower, down 3.5 points. Dow futures down 42. NASDAQ futures up 12.5. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32. Yield 2.97%. Yield on the 2-year 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.1% or 78 cents to $67.98 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% down $2.30 at $12.31.30 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, day two of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort's bank and tax fraud trial takes place today. Prosecutors say Manafort funneled tens of millions of dollars through offshore accounts they allege went to pay for personal expenses, such as a $21,000 watch and a $15,000 jacket made of ostrich. Manafort's defense lawyer described his client as a hugely successful international political consultant who left the details of his finances to others. A federal judge in Seattle has issued a temporary restraining order to stop the release of blueprints to make untraceable and undetectable 3D-printed plastic guns. In sports and baseball, the Yankees beat the Orioles 6-3. Oh, my. The Nationals opened up a can of whoop-tushy on the Mets, 25-4. The Red Sox lost. The A's and Giants were winners. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Ever since you got on Twitter, Michael, you got hashtags galore. Hashtag whooptushy. My goodness. All right. It is 5:49 now on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. That is our platform that offers informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Jennifer Ryan is our Bloomberg Opinion editor in our London bureau. And Jen joins me now. Good morning, Jen. Apple losing its thrill. By Shira Ovadeh. Apple's boring now?
It is boring. I mean, profits there are still pretty good, obviously, but they're just not quite as perky as they used to be. And Shira's point is that this is absolutely fine. What Apple's really doing now is relying a lot more on higher sticker prices. So let me give you an example. It's obviously persuaded people to pay a heck of a lot more for its iPhone X. And what this means is that the average price of iPhones sold in the June quarter reached $724. That's actually $118.50 more than it was a year earlier. The result here is that total revenue is triple what it would have been, roughly, if prices had stayed stable.
Okay, so Apple fans are willing to pay more for their device. Is that all there is to Apple's new normal?
It really isn't, because, I mean, the broader picture is the regular introduction of new products. I mean, if you've got the feeling that every year it seems like Apple's got a new product category, that seems like that's not a coincidence. But this is a way to keep aggregate revenue growth chugging along.
Okay, so that all sounds nice, but is Apple happy with that?
Well, the company is really spending like it never has before, and that's presumably to find the next great technological hit, whether that's in healthcare or driverless cars or what have you. But Apple's new normal has meant shrinking operating margins, and whether the company's spending splurge is going to lead to its next cool hit remains to be seen. But overall, in the meantime, the point is that Apple's doing all the right things to keep its growth and profit engines chugging along.
All right, well, let's chug along to a piece by Mark Buchanan, who writes, "Too many jobs feel meaningless because they are." I guess this idea that business might be wasteful isn't new, but we've got now a London School of Economics anthropologist putting a new spin on it in a new book. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, this academic called David Graeber has said that there's a lot of myths about the efficiency of capitalism, and this is starting to blind us to the fact that much of economic reality is actually shaped by jockeying for power and status, and it really serves no economic function at all. And he doesn't have in his sights just finance. It's a lot of businesses. And what he does uniquely is tie these to changes in human history and to explain why, anthropologically, they really might not be all that surprising. And his findings here kind of chime with what you hear from surveys. So for a 2015 UK survey found that 37% of people felt their jobs did not make a meaningful contribution to the world.
What kind of jobs are we talking about?
Well, they seem mostly to be in the professional services sector, and we're not really talking about things like cleaner and garbage collecting. I mean, an example he gives is an accounting firm that purposefully mistrained staff for a project for a client, saddled them with impossible tasks so the work could not be done in time, and the contract would need to be extended. It's jobs getting generated naturally out of the corporate managerial struggle for influence, status, and control of resources.
Fascinating. So what does this tell us about capitalism more broadly?
Well, the point is that this is actually a long way from true capitalism, and it looks a lot more like sort of some kind of classic medieval feudalism. And so what the lesson is here for observers of these great economies is that we shouldn't really be all that surprised that productivity has slowed.
Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion Editor, thanks so much. You can read more on this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion. On the Bloomberg Terminal, just type in OPIN. Go. Karen.
Thanks, Nathan. It's 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
President Trump signed a law to save the federal flood insurance program from a lapse just hours before the program was set to expire. The Senate and House had earlier passed measures to extend the program's expiration date to the end of November. Senate Banking Committee Democrats want financial regulators to turn over data about how the Volcker Rule is being enforced. The request comes as regulators take steps to ease compliance for banks. And a bipartisan coalition of lawmakers wants to patch up holes in hospice and palliative care for seriously ill children.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal news. Let's look at Valerie Szczepanik's new role at the Securities and Exchange Commission, where she is now the top regulatory official overseeing the cryptocurrency industry. For more on this story, Bloomberg's Dune Grosso and Peter Barnes speak with Ben Bain, who covers financial regulation for Bloomberg News.
So, Ben, tell us a little bit about her. She's a 20-year SEC veteran. Why was she given this job?
Sure. Thanks a lot. Valerie Szczepanik, as you mentioned, 20 years in the agency and actually in the agency's enforcement division, which, if you think about kind of the famous cases that the SEC has brought against big Wall Street firms, that's the unit that does it. This new job is in a different division, which is more focused on kind of corporate filings, some of the more mundane aspects that the SEC does. So what they did is they tapped Ms. Szczepanik, moved her over into this less threatening division. And the idea is to get crypto firms, which are kind of notoriously reticent to engage with government. Certainly it has its, very kind of libertarian origins, cryptocurrency, to come in and talk to the SEC so regulators can get a little bit better idea what's going on. They've spent the last year really trying to get their arms around this, and I think the hope is that the regulator is going to be able to engage more by having someone who's not in enforcement reaching out to the industry.
So what do analysts say? Does the SEC have its hands around crypto now?
Well, if you look at the numbers, the SEC, has been warning about the dangers of initial coin offerings. The chairman has warned that, this market is kind of rife with fraud. But, in June of this year, it was a record month for ICOs. More than $5.5 billion were raised. That's according to Coin Schedule data. So, what we're seeing is, certainly the SEC has a much better idea of where things are than they were, than they did a year ago, let's say. But it's still very much, a quick changing market, and they haven't been able to stop firms from raising money in what they say are unregistered securities offerings.
That's Bloomberg News financial regulation reporter Ben Bain speaking with June Grosso and Peter Barnes. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. And futures this morning, S&P futures are lower, down about 3 points. Dow futures down 37, while NASDAQ futures move higher. They're up 14. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. The CAC in Paris little changed. And the FTSE 100 is down 1%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32nds, yield 2.97%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.2% or 81 cents to $67.95 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2%. Down $2.30 to $12.31.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1681, and the yen is at 112.01. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg Radio.